531.
Flores Niu returned to her ancestral land in Samoa 7 years ago following a series of life-threatening illnesses, including cervical cancer. This followed 2 decades of being in a corporate job in New Zealand where she made good money, yet felt she wasn't getting anywhere physically and spiritually. Flores Niu is the founder of Miss Sunshine Farms, which is her cacao plantation and is building an agro-tourism market from it. She is the co-founder of SWAG, which stands for Samoa Women's Association of Growers, an NGO raising the voices of women in agriculture in Samoa. Despite the many battles she has faced in becoming a woman organic farmer, she continues to advocate for the rights of women farmers in Samoa. Flores Niu is on the line with us now. Talofa Lava Flores, and thank you so much for making time for us.
Talofa Lava, thank you.
Our pleasure indeed. Now, let's go back to the beginning. You came from Samoa to New Zealand as an 8-year-old, and yet you are now back in Samoa. Could you tell us a little bit about that journey?
Yeah, sure. Sure. My journey has been, quite an interesting one. Obviously, my family moved to New Zealand as a young 8-year-old. We actually came to New Zealand because my father was dying of cancer. And we ended up staying and lived there, and I spent most of my life being schooled in New Zealand. And did a few trips around the world and ended back in Samoa and New Zealand. And, several times I tried to come and live in Samoa, and it's always been really difficult sort of adjusting back to the lifestyle and the pace and all of those things that kind of change when you're away for such a long time. So I came back in 2000, and then in 2006, I worked here as a journalist and worked for the government as well. And then after that, I went back to Australia and have come back now in 2014 after a series of unfortunate events, as you put it. And I think this is really where I'm truly supposed to be. And I'm just super grateful that I'm still here talking to you and be able to share this journey with everybody.
Now, growing up in Samoa, you are now an organic farmer. Do you remember touching the soil, ever thinking as a young girl that you would come back and actually live off the land, literally?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we grew up on a plantation like most people in Samoa. And I guess I have a romanticized view of Samoa because when I was taken out of here, I was only 8 years old. So I wasn't really damaged by any of the things that happened either in politics or in any other way in society at that time. So yes, I do remember working in the plantation or going to the plantation with my parents and my brothers and sisters. And I was the youngest of 11. And so I do remember being taken to the plantation or going out fishing with my mother. And it's such a beautiful life. I mean, I always wanted to have that kind of life for my own child. So the unfortunate incident that brought us to New Zealand, this happens to a lot of people who come to New Zealand. And so, there wasn't that choice for me to make those kinds of decisions, think about whether I'm or not I'm going to be an organic farmer in the future. You grow up in New Zealand and you have other choices that you're given in terms of your education. All you're thinking about is the corporate job. And I think it wasn't until I became ill that I really started thinking about, all the things that I'm putting into my body in terms of the food and, how I live my life and how I deal with stress and all of those kinds of things. And everything that came back to me in terms of, you know, how I was feeling to try to heal myself, it was always in the moment that I've gone back to Samoa, come back here, and I've gone to the plantation and spent time there, thinking about, you know, what I should be doing with my life. And I think this kind of stages that people go through normally. And I had two unfortunate situations where I almost lost my life. And I think that's kind of the one of the times that I've come back to my parents' plantation, my ancestral land, and really found that the land spoke to me. And also just witnessing how things had changed, how people were treating the land, and how unfortunate it was that over the time that I'd been away, life had moved on and people have prioritized, you know, getting crops out to the markets and so on, and there's a lot of pressure to make money and all of those kinds of things. And I think people tend to look for easy solutions or easy way out. And realistically, they're not easy. They actually become harder and harder, and especially when it's impacting your life, your personal health, and the health of the people around you, the people that love you and you love. So I think that's one of the things I noticed on one of the trips back here.
Now, what is it that made you start up Miss Sunshine Farms?
Sure. When I came back in 2014, I was in a car accident here, and it took a lot of time for me to sort out the issues that came with the car accident. And out of that time, I started going to the plantation, and I would just stand there in the middle of the cocoa plantation that my parents had started years ago, and my brothers and sisters, and kind of looking for answers. And there was a moment, I think, when I stood there in the middle of the cocoa and I looked around, and I really, the thoughts that came to my mind were not nice ones. You know, I was really thinking about, you know, there was so much going on, and I wanted to, you know, basically end my life. And that was when I saw the cocoa pods. And I thought to myself, this is a message, this is a sign. And I think, thank God for, you know, being brought up as a Christian, or being brought up as having something to believe in, because that was a moment where I really saw nature as a reminder for me that I had so much to live for. And I looked around, and that was the sign for me that I just wanted to see those things grow and not abandon our land. It's just in the situation that I was in, my brother and I are the only people in our family left with all of this land to manage, and it was just going to waste. And I thought to myself, I'm at a standstill. And this is an opportunity. It's like a blank canvas.
How difficult has it been to be a woman organic farmer in Samoa?
It's really difficult, yeah. Probably one of the most difficult things you can imagine for somebody to not only come back as a woman and work in the village doing what men traditionally do, you know, and digging the soil and telling people that they shouldn't be doing this or that because it's damaging the land and the soil. And I think that's really shocking to people. And then you have to deal with all of the things in the village, you know, the protocols and the rules and the unspoken rules and the rules that only apply to men and only apply to women, and all of those things. Your life is constantly under threat because people are stealing from you, and if you approach them or even try to reason with them, there is no reasoning. So, and it's just, I think, simply, you know, those things come because people don't understand who you are and what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I think what I needed to do was, yeah.
Part of your support has been forming the Samoa Women's Association of Growers. How instrumental have they been in giving you the strength to continue to be an organic farmer?
Sure. I mean, yeah, in 2018, a couple of friends of mine got together, and we really, I mean, at that time, we would get together as women, and I tried to find a lot of women who were aligned with, you know, my philosophies on how I was growing organically. And I think when you get together with women who are like-minded and want to build that strength in you, I think it was pretty easy to get that going. And I think once you find your sisters who have the connections as well and also have the motivation and stamina to be able to stand up to the rules that don't apply to us. And I think building that organization was really instrumental in starting off a conversation, a dialogue in the industry here in Samoa, in agriculture.
Now, speaking of promoting those women and the work that you do, tell us a little bit about the calendar. Sorry to be jumping in and talking on top of you,
sure.
But we're running out of time. We've got news at 5:30, so I'm going to try and promote the calendar as much as I can. Tell us about the calendar idea. How did that come about?
Yeah, so the calendar has come about because of the relationship that I have with the women farmers here in Samoa. So we work mostly with farmers in Upolu at the moment. And the project is a part of a bigger project that is called Improved Livelihoods for Improved Protection of the Cocoa Value Chain. And that is a project that is funded by IMSAT, DLNA, and SBS Biosecurity is the company from New Zealand that is implementing. With one of the partners here in Samoa is KVA and Hawaii Koko. There's a whole raft of organizations and people involved in that. But the small part of this project is agritourism. And agritourism is something that I started in 2016 in terms of my activities on my farm to try and promote organic food, plant-based diet, and just basically a healthy lifestyle and working and living on the plantation. So because of that work, there's been a lot of people who attended the tours and were quite curious about what I was doing. These are farmers I'm talking about, and the majority of them, of course, are women. And I thought to myself, well, after speaking to these women, we had so much in common and we had all the same struggles that we do on the land. And so I thought, you know, they're doing such wonderful work. You know, we really need to be able to showcase that and to tell the world that, you know, women really do care about the environment, and they're actually taking it upon themselves to promote.
We really are running out of time, unfortunately. Yeah. Floris, could you tell us, how can people get a copy of the calendar?
Sure. So the calendar is going to be printed and will be sold in New Zealand through SAB. And also SAB is our major sponsor here in Samoa, who's going to retail the calendar. And it will be retailed online in Australia as well through a company called Living Koko. And also in, hopefully, Pango American Samoa through SAB as well.
And basically the calendar is made up of 12 women farmers, and each woman features in the 12 months. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. And it's incorporating the moon phases because the calendar is called Growing with Mother Nature. And it's this whole idea of having to go back and look at traditional farming methods and taking care of the land in that way, really just shunning the synthetic inputs and chemicals in conventional farming. So,
wonderful. Advocate for Samoan Women Organic Farm, founder of Ms. Sunshine Farms and co-founder of Samoa Women's Association of Growers, Flores New, thank you for your time and the work that you do. And we will look forward to seeing the calendar when it comes out.
Thank you. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Mr. Wasi. Have a great day.
You're listening to Early Edition with ETC. 531 PI is the station that brings Pacific people together.